Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself, back from his holiday. How you doing, Pete? What's going on?
I'm back from a holiday. I was actually back last week, so we could record last week, but Chris did a wonderful podcast with Premier... Is it Premier 1 or Premier 2? Why am I changing his handle? Premier 1. No, Premier 2. Premier 2, Pete, isn't it?
Premier 2.
Premier 2.
He's not going to be happy.
Sorry,
that you didn't
Pete.
Know that.
He is wonderful, and I very much enjoyed that Twitch stream you did where you streamed Cyberpunk 20, whatever the fuck it is, on the PlayStation 5 while you played the game. Pete does all of the charismatic badinage and you constantly complain about Pete not getting you a PlayStation 5. I've heard you demand a PlayStation 5 from a man from the Americas about five times in a week, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah,
I think we all have.
To be fair, he promised it though. He was like, okay. Oh yeah, dude, I'll get you a PlayStation, no problem. Didn't do it. If he hadn't promised it, if he hadn't like raised the bar of expectation to this point, it would never have been an issue for him.
Right.
It would have been all right. If you said to me, oh, Chris, I'll get you a PlayStation. I don't know why you sound like that.
I don't know.
If I was saying
it like that, you would know that I was taking the absolute pee.
But if you went, I'll get you a PlayStation,
yeah,
don't worry about it. And I was like, oh, wow, that's great, man. Thanks. Thank you so much. You're what a great friend you are. And then you just didn't deliver for 12 months. Yeah, I think I'd be a little bit pissed about that there.
Yeah.
But no, good credit to Pete. It was a good stream. We did it for like 9 hours straight. The
bloody
longest
hell
stream I think I've ever done. And I don't know how streamers stream that long.
Mm.
How you can be enthusiastic for more than like 20 minutes in front of a camera.
Yeah.
But it was good fun.
If anyone can do it, Pete can do it. He's very, very good and very, very charismatic, very, very excitable as well. It's really good. And thank you to Pete for filling in for me last week as well.
It's the power of ADHD. If you've got ADHD, get yourself, become a streamer basically, channel
right
that energy into something.
Oh, has he actually got ADHD?
Productive.
That makes, okay.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Legal speed, baby. So you get your legal speed. We can all be like that.
It was good to finally play Cyberpunk well after all this time, and it's not a bad game. It was a bit awkward, like CD Projekt Red, like half the developers and the head of marketing was like watching us stream it, and it was don't want to be too mean. I don't want to be too mean about the game while they're watching. And I think I was pretty fair in my criticism. My criticism was that the game was great, the story was interesting, the world was very enriching and wonderful, but it had a bit of a look but don't touch kind of feel to it. Like you'd go in like shops and like corridors and stuff, but you couldn't really interact with people and you couldn't really interact in the world in certain ways. And that was my main criticism.
Chris, you have no respect for game design.
I mean, that's fair enough.
Games have become too big and too impossible to make. They people just, you know, you do expect too much because you promise. There's loads of like people who've restored, go through all the data that you download when you download on Steam or Origin or whatever, however the hell you get the game on PC. And they've kind of restored stuff that was removed by CD Projekt Red. So they restored things that were promised, kind of half programmed and stuff, and put them in the game. And that's how kind of games find it. Like, well, yeah, the flying car. I don't think that was ever part of the plan, but things like shooting from cars and stuff like that, it was something you can't do in the game. But I think I was just surprised that you managed to get away with streaming it, because a lot of that game is absolutely grotty, absolute willies and bums and titty car cars all over the place, all over the gaff.
Well, there's an option, actually, because streaming is such a big deal these days. There's an option where you can go in and make it, like, tone it down. There's a button you press, and it gets rid of all the copyrighted music, and it gets rid of all the nudity, and makes it, like, puts it in a place where you can stream it.
So somebody would have had to have gone through basically just got the hard drive full of textures and redrawn and modified all of the grot, the Mary Whitehouse, the Tipper Gore of video games, just goes around and just, there must be like a little cottage industry of agencies who, if you're a video game producer, you can sort of send all of your textures to people who do this sort of thing, and they're kind of like the new Puritans who make all of the games safe for streaming, if you've got a lot of grot in your game.
Well, I mean, it was still pretty sketchy. Like, there's one scene in the game where we were like sitting talking to a character, and there's just like a pole dancer, like a half nude pole dancer, just dancing around. Great game, love it.
I sort of dipped out to make the dogs breakfast, and I came back, and you were cradling a dead, almost naked woman. I don't know where you and Pete found him in Tokyo, but in the game you were just driving around.
Oh god! Oh my god! But good fun though, good fun. Yeah, really enjoyed it. Glad I finally got to do it.
I mean, we couldn't have picked the worst week to pre-record a two shows with Premier 2P in the week that, obviously, when Shinzo Abe was shot in the street, was murdered in the street. Obviously a big story in Japan and the wider world, and it's been pretty huge. What's been the reaction like in Tokyo, in Sendai, places like that?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's absolutely insane. I did make a video on it on the day, just because there was so much misinformation going around. And it was such a big story. And I tried to, like, get all the information together, get the videos of what happened, and try and give a objective summary of the day's events and how he was shot. Because it was surprisingly easy to assassinate the former Prime Minister of Japan. If you look at videos of it, he's just standing on a podium in front of a crowd, very close to the crowd. A guy that, like, to the rear of Shinzo Abe, he was just standing by a road, a little street.
Yeah.
And there was, like, no protection from the rear. Guy walks over the road with a shotgun that he had made, fired two shots, and the second shot hit him, struck him in the neck and the chest, I think, and that was it. And, you know, there was a story today that came out that in those 2.5 seconds between the first shot and the second shot, they could have saved him. Like, his guys could have got in the way. The security could have got in the way. They could have taken down the guy. He could have done something. But there's lots of, you know, because Japan, there isn't that much gun crime. I think there was just kind of disbelief, really. And just everyone just thought, well, it must have been a balloon popping or something. But if you watch the video, you can see a video. It's pretty bad, where there's the first shot, and then everyone just sort of stops. And, you know, even Shinzo Abe turns around. He's like, oh, what was that?
Yeah.
And then the second shot comes. But
I think, I said it before the podcast. If you need to know how topsy turvy and strange sort of Japan is, like, Shinzo Abe, you know, seconds from his death, he's speaking into a microphone with a little kind of protective doily over the top of the microphone so that he doesn't get COVID or he doesn't give COVID to anyone else. If you need to know, like, where, you know, priorities are and how kind of, how blindsided they can be with stuff like this and prioritize other things. It was stark how long it took before the second shot from an improvised weapon, which is obviously not as accurate as a professional piece of weaponry, you would assume. One of the guys does get one of those chintzy little bulletproof bulletproof cases up, doesn't he? And I think it does absorb one of the bullets or one of the pellets or however the blow was administered. But it's just they didn't look particularly well organized. But you can kind of give them a little bit of a pass because Japan is just so safe and these things really, really don't happen very often. And fucking hell, like, he had to make his own gun to make it happen. It's not like it's difficult to come across weaponry and firepower. So it was an astonishing attack. And these things really don't happen that often. They really don't.
Well, I think the motive for it happening was equally sort of bizarre and puzzling. It was a guy called Tetsuya Yamagami, a 41-year-old dude, I think, living in the city of Nara. And his mum had given lots of money to a church, a kind of controversial church, not a very good church, called the Church of Unification, started in South Korea, right? And if you look into this church, you will not believe how insane it is. It is proper bonkers, like this church in the background, and how they managed to infiltrate sort of every level of government in both the US and Japan through very clever political ties and donations. But anyway, this guy, Yamagami, his mum gave like all their money to the church, ruining his life, and he kind of lost his mind a bit. And from there, that's when he hatched the plan to shoot Shinzo Abe. I think the reason he took it out on Shinzo Abe, it's reported that about a year ago, 2021, Abe gave a speech as part of the Unification Church's like promotion PR, right?
Right. Okay.
And so he felt that Abe must be involved, and it would send a signal to the church doing it. Completely bonkers, but yeah, really quite an insane chain of events, and still kind of shocking. It's still kind of very odd to think that he's gone after all this time. I mean, for the entirety of my time in Japan, Shinzo Abe has been the ruler. He's been the guy calling the shots. And even though he stepped down a year ago, he's still kind of been running things in some way, shape or form. He's still sort of been running things behind the scenes. And sorry, I said a year ago. It was 2 years ago. But what's interesting is he's always been a very polarizing figure. And most Japanese people that I speak to didn't overly like him, a lot of people I spoke to. And yet everyone in Japan sort of come together, and the criticism of Abe has sort of gone. And people that didn't like him have sort of said, well, what's happened is a tragedy, and I think it's really bad what happened. And there's not been that many kind of people that are like, yeah, he deserved it. Whereas from the foreign community, and foreigners in general, there's been a lot more like, oh, yeah, he deserved it. Like when I did a video about it, which I've taken down now because YouTube absolutely penalized the hell out of it because I showed too much stuff, basically, even though I tried to censor everything, got flagged the system. But there was a lot of comments like, oh yeah, he deserved it, he's super right wing, he's this, he's that. And while he's, we've talked about him over the years for all the stuff he's done, there's a lot of shady stuff that he's done, not so great stuff. No one deserves to go like that. And
if you've had that career in politics, you're always going to be a target, and you just hope that the security services can do their job when required. But like you say, I mean, it's a very he had a particular reputation in the West. I think it's fair to say of those who were even interested in what Japan's politics is. But still sad when a man loses life in that manner. Nobody should go like that, really, should they?
And still pretty young into his career. Well, by the standards of Japanese politicians, anyway. I think he was 67, and most Japanese politicians live to 150. But that's the end of Shinzo Abe. That's the end of that bit. Like, we've talked about him so much over the years on this podcast. So never again.
Anyone who's in politics that length of time and is that successful casts a long shadow, because the Japanese his position, it's just kind of like a bit of a job share, isn't it, really? You get a new one every year, don't you? It's like a vending machine. But he an excellent Japanese vending machine, but at that. But yeah, it's rare that someone is able to continue in that role for such a long time, because it just doesn't happen up there, does it?
And that's the longest running prime minister as well. But that's the end of Shinzo Abe's reign. And it'll be interesting to see how this affects Japanese politics going forward, and how this changes Japan. I think there's I've heard some people sort of say that Japan is sort of in a dark place right now. I think it's come at a bad time, especially because the cost of living is not so good here. Mm. The yen is just worthless at this point, which is causing all sorts of issues.
Yeah.
If only they would open the doors to tourists with all their money. You know, there's another wave of COVID here at the moment, more cases than in recent times, and it's just like, oh, would it really make that much difference letting in foreign tourists? They're still vetted, they still have to take COVID tests. Would it make much difference? Probably not, but you'd get lots of money and take advantage of a very weak yen, honestly. But it just nightmare.
Yeah, it was always going to be rolled back at the first sign of trouble, and then if they're moving it back to September, then you're in a situation where you're heading towards Christmas as the rates pop up. And I you know what, I was like, kind of, because you and Premier 2P and a couple of others, Ian, I think I saw in the picture, you all went to my favourite bar Rockaholic, and I follow Bar Rockaholic on Twitter, and there's like a video of their entry policy, how to, you know, wash your hands, disinfect and stuff, and sit. Like, what was it like in Bar Rockaholic, my favourite bar? Lots of plastic screens. Was it all kind of just, you know, staff and punters kind of separated, or was it kind of quite free form?
I have a confession. Even though we sent you a video outside Bar Rockaholic,
you didn't even go in. Grow up.
We just wanted to spite you.
Playing with my emotions.
We actually went to another bar, a much better bar around the corner that did better varieties of beer.
What, that shitty jazz bar around the corner? Rubbish. It's a load of rubbish, that.
But I'll go. I will go now. You've made me feel guilty. I will go into Bar Rockaholic. Yeah, we'll go in.
Unbelievable.
I just sent Pete a photo of us outside of Bar Rockaholic, ladies and gentlemen, and made it look like we'd gone in when we hadn't.
I cannot imagine how horrific, what's that one on the corner? Gas Panic. I can't imagine what their COVID policy is. It's just like, I mean, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. If it's in there, you're going to get it.
You most certainly are. That air is probably 90% COVID. Anyway, we got a story this week from Lisa in Seattle. Hi, Chris and Pete. In September of 2019, I went with a co-worker to Tokyo for work, and we had a great time, but the night before we were due to fly back to Seattle, they reported a typhoon was expected. All we saw were restaurants closing early, not really anyone making a big deal out of it. Even the news didn't seem overly concerned. It was if this was the US, they would have been freaking out. I just had to rely on getting info from my husband via text from the US telling me he could find out, because it didn't seem like a big deal to people in Japan. The middle of the night, I woke up and heard the wind howling and the rain and wind pounding on the windows, which made me go sleep in the bathroom because I was convinced the glass would shatter. Luckily, that didn't happen. In the morning, the storm was over. The hotel concierge called my room to say the bus to the airport was cancelled. That was all. So my coworker and I got in a taxi with plenty of time to head to the airport. Nobody stopped us or anything. We ended up in the taxi for 11 and a half hours. What? What? We could not get to the airport. The roads were backed up. Flights were cancelled. It was an absolute disaster. Even our taxi driver, who didn't speak English, eventually got a friend on the phone to tell us in English the driver had a heart issue, oh my God, and needed to go back home to get his medication in Tokyo. Let's face it, that's an obvious lie. He just wanted to get out of the situation. But my question to you is, why would nobody at the hotel just tell us, no, don't go to the airport, it's a mess? Or why wouldn't the driver stop us? For some reason, nobody in Japan wanted to stop us from going down this path, which was completely futile. We did end up rebooking our flight for a couple of days after. I had an amazing time in Japan, though, and I can't wait to go back. Love the show, guys. All the best. Lisa in Seattle. What do you make of that, Pete?
I'm so Japan sick that I just want to sit in a little cab with an old bloke driving around with his little tray where you put the money in, and the signs, the endless signs and adverts, and the little doilies on the back of the taxi. I just want to be there, even if it is 11 and a half hours. I mean, good God, he's got heart issues and he's got to go back to get the bloody heart medicine. Lordy.
I wonder I wonder if he did. I reckon after 11 hours, he was like, fuck this. I'm not.
He should have done it earlier.
Money.
He should have done it bloody earlier. Good God.
That is a bit odd.
That's hilarious.
But then again, taxi drivers do smoke like chimneys, so he probably did have heart issues. But I was in a taxi the other day, actually. This guy was just off his rockers. He was just, when he saw that I was foreign, he hit the roof and he started like talking about all his favourite British bands. And I was really tired because it was just after the 9-hour Cyberpunk stream. I was dead. And he just went on about the Beatles and various other bands from the UK in the 60s for like 20 minutes. And I was like, oh, God, no, not now. Not today, of all days. But I think, you know, people in Japan are quite polite, but that can manifest itself in being too indirect and not saying anything. People just like, oh, I don't want to rock the boat. Don't want to. Can't be bothered to.
People don't like to get involved, do they? It's because I would say that as like, if I was in that situation and I was the concierge, I would be like, oh well, maybe they've got other plans. You know, maybe they've not got the airport. Maybe they. I don't want to get involved. There was a bloke around the corner about 2 months ago, and he was outside and he's crying with his partner. And they were having a tender moment. I don't need to bring this down so hard, but they were having a tender moment. I think their dog was on the floor, and I think the dog was not long for this world. I know they'd been hit by a car or whatever.
Right.
And I really wanted to pat them on the back and go, is there anything I can do? But I just did. But there's something I saw where that is such a tender moment that I have no, I can't help. I can't change this for them. I can't modify this in any way. I cannot lend a hand because everything is in hand and they are crying and they're having a terrible time but they're doing it in a very public place. And I really want, and every time I walk past the house, I really want to say, I've not seen the guy since. I really want to say, I hope you guys are okay, blah, 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 blah. But I haven't seen it for fucking ages. So it's gone on too long. So I can't bring up something that happened like 6 months ago. Go, do you remember your dead dog? Oh, it was sad, wasn't it? I can't do that.
Oh, God.
So I'm so fucking paralyzed by my awkwardness, but also like, but I want to do the nice things, but I'm also paralyzed by, it's a miracle anyone likes me. Because I'm so paralyzed by not wanting to get involved. And when I sort of see Japanese people do that, I always sort of go, yeah, I kind of get that. Don't get involved.
It's quintessentially British. I don't know. Or is it quintessentially Pete?
Yeah.
Maybe you're just maybe. You're too nice for your own good, Pete. Too nice. But, man, I don't know. I must say, have you ever experienced a typhoon in Japan?
No. No, I imagine it's...
That was a very long,
pretty windy.
Pause.
Have I? No, I've witnessed some pretty chunky weather in Korea, but other than that, not really.
I mean, they're pretty brutal typhoons, but they usually, I don't know why, they always come at night, so you can just sort of sleep through it. It does sound like the windows are going to implode, and if you're in a traditional inn, as I always seem to be, whenever they hit, like all the panels and all the sliding doors just rattle like crazy, you know. But other than that, they're pretty fine. Wouldn't want to fly in one at all. There's some really good footage of a typhoon 2 or 3 years ago and all planes just coming into land at Kansai Airport in Osaka. Ooh. And the planes just look like they're being tossed all over the place. Really dicey. My worst nightmare, honestly. But
no, don't like that. Do not like that.
But 12 Hours in a Taxi could be a good film, could be a good story. There you go.
Finishes with the Brown Japan podcast.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do the next episode of the taxi.
Yeah,
we got a story this week. We did have a story about a girl who got buggered.
Whoa, steady.
It's important to say,
Chris.
That means told off.
Right. Okay.
For doing something with her eyebrows.
It legally doesn't. I mean, it does. It just doesn't. So she groomed her eyebrows. She got removed from class for 3 days for simply plucking a couple of eyebrows out of her brow, and the school got very upset with her, and she gave her bishitotoko, separate room schooling, a form of disciplining in Japanese schools where students have to sit alone and think about their eyebrows for a few days.
That is such a non-story. I've got a much better story. Got a much better story than a girl getting told off for touching her eyebrows. What is it with Japanese schools? Why are they so ridiculous? Remember, I had a story like a year ago where it was like a girl dyed her hair brown and they were like, what are you doing? It's like, come off it. It's the 21st century, but not here. There's a story at the moment, right? This monkey. This is a Pete Donaldson story through and through. There's a monkey on the loose, injuring 14 people have been injured by this monkey in the last 10 days. On the loose in Yamaguchi Prefecture, right? The story says police in the western Japanese city of Yamaguchi, or the western prefecture of Yamaguchi, on the lookout for a monkey that's injured 14 locals in 10 days. In one incident, right, this monkey opened a screen door of a first floor apartment at 6:50 in the morning, the last thing you need, and it scratched the left leg of a 4-year-old girl in the room, inflicting minor injuries. The monkey also attacked 5 other people randomly around the apartment, biting their bodies, including their necks and stomachs.
Bloody hell.
According to Yamaguchi police, a string of people have been scratched or bitten by the monkey since July 8th, with the total rising to 14 people on July 17th. Police are concentrating patrols in the area where the animal has been spotted. Imagine that. 6:50 in the morning, you know, you're 10 minutes out from your alarm clock going off to get your ready breath and go to school. Next thing you know, there's a monkey biting your leg off. What's going on there? keep your doors shut.
Yeah.
Keep the windows shut.
If I knew that it was a monkey on the loose that liked biting bodies, I'd keep my bodies away from the monkey, to be honest.
I mean, how would you... I mean, you're an expert of monkeys, a monkeyologist. Is there a word for someone who's an expert in monkeys?
Oh, I don't know. Probably just a monkey man. I don't know. I just do not know.
Monkeyologist. All right. How would you capture this monkey? How would you stop them in their tracks? What would you do?
I would sit them down and explain to them that what they're doing is horrific and they need to buck up their ideas, else they're going to get a buggering. Chris Broad is going to give them a buggering. So watch out, yeah?
So remember what happened to Harambe? To be told off.
He's done. Remember what happened?
I would strap him to a chair like Clockwork Orange and make him watch peaceful videos and films about war. Remember that in Clockwork Orange? Yes. Where he makes him watch nuclear explosions and stuff.
Yeah.
I'd do that. I don't know. I hope they capture the monkey. I hope the monkey survives despite his misdemeanors and biting and scratching. It would be a sad end to the story. Maybe they need monkey busters. Remember the elderly women in like Fukui Prefecture that bought lots of BB guns to shoot the monkeys that were invading their farms like a year or two ago.
Okay,
bring them down.
Yeah.
Get them down.
Yeah, the mamas. The mamas were gunners.
Imagine that, like the police just turn up in Fukui Prefecture and they're like, monkey busters, we need your help. And they hop on the first train to Yamaguchi. But only the monkey busters can solve this case. But be careful. Japanese macaques are pretty scary. Keep out their way. They are ruthless. We'll be back in just a moment, guys, with your stories, comments and questions in this week's Fact Machine.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
I don't know if
first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What do we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dawson?
We got a message from, Ian and Marika Forrest. Marika Forrest in Otley in West Yorkshire. Hi, Chris and Pete. Rion Ishida, who was recently doing a live stream when he was stopped by a lady who demanded that he stop his filming because she said he was a spy. Rion Ishida, he's like, I had a little Google of him, and he is a Japanese guy, I think, who just walks around having a lovely old time. I think he's relatively popular. Have a look. He's good. He just does live streams, and he just rolls around Japan. Have you ever been challenged in such a way while out filming on the streets of Japan, and how would you handle it? All the best from Ian and Marika Forrest in Otley, West Yorkshire. Have you ever been told to buck up your ideas and stop all that filming on the street, Chris?
I'm going to look into this. How would he be a spy? Isn't he Japanese? The honest.
Well, yeah. You know, well, yeah. Well,
crazy. Honestly, I mean, when I was did a video with stream with Sea Dog voice actor and Premier 2, not Premier 1, as Pete Donaldson calls it. To be fair, Premier 1, Premier 2. Do you know, I've spent so long not just bugging him about PlayStation 5, but trying to rebrand his channel so it doesn't sound like a bloody credit card company. but we were doing the stream in Golden Guy, and right at the end of the stream, it was a really fun stream. Right at the end, we were just sort of wrapping up, and this kind of drunk woman, probably in her 40s, came over and just started harassing us to stop filming. Right. She was like, ooh. Golden Guy, no filming. It was in Japanese. She was speaking in Japanese, but she was like, Golden Guy, no. No filming. No, you break the rules. No filming. We're like, yeah, we're carrying mustard. Okay, yeah. And we just kept walking. And she was like, no filming. And we had left Golden Guy at this point. We're like 100 yards away, still doing the stream. And she was still harassing us. And I was losing my shit, because I was quite tired, and we all were. But luckily, or weirdly, at that point in the stream, Connor's camera like cut out. So you can't actually see this footage. You can just see like white noise, and just occasionally hear me being like, yeah, whatever. And like being angry. honestly, what a load of nonsense. You're not allowed to take photos and videos in Golden Guy, supposedly.
Right.
It's annoying.
Too small.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, there's not that many. I don't think I even saw any signs saying no photos. How can you, like, it's the most picturesque, cool-looking place in Japan. Of course people are going to want to take a photo.
I guess you don't want people sort of, I guess you don't want people kind of just the whole street being filled with people just having a, you know, filming and doing this and that.
True.
Though I again, like you say, I don't remember seeing any signs, so why don't we see these people sort of filming around? Because people don't usually, they usually, you know, push the envelope as much as they can.
I think is that she was picking on us as well, because there were other people taking photos and videos, but she sort of picked on us. But to her credit, she was phenomenally drunk and very annoying.
Yeah.
And but that was the only time I think it's happened. The only time I've been like really properly challenged. Other than that, everyone's always really nice about filming. And there is a funny, I think there's a funny clip in a video once I did with Sharla. We went to Kanazawa Fish Market, and Sharla was filming in front of this like grocery, little grocery stall, grotty stall that sold wasabi. And the old woman just came out and just prodded her from behind and was like, "Hotoide, like go away."
Oh,
and that was pretty good. That was quality. Quality moment. Other than that, you're all good. Olivia says, "Dear Chris and Pete, greetings from Stockholm. Hope you're both well. I love to go running, and I would like to continue while we're in Japan. How safe is it for a woman to run alone in Tokyo or other places around the country? All the best to you both, Olivia." I mean, I'm not a woman. I'm not qualified to tell you this. I think Japan is very safe, but the place where things go wrong is typically on trains. there was a clip this week of a female foreign girl on a train, I think in Osaka, and some drunk, weird guy dressed as a pilot touching her hair, and that caused quite a stir. He was also drunk. Everyone seems to be drunk. What's going on? But he was like touching her, and she had a go at him. Her and her friends were like, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And he was like, "This is Japan," and being like really racist, just to finish off the list of twatty things to do, sexually assault someone, and then be racist. The big two. But trains are the only place, I think, the place where you've got to really watch out for. I know a lot of people that have had sort of groping issues on trains, particularly busy trains. So, yeah, other than that, though, I think safe to jog outside, and I feel a lot safer in Japan at night than I ever would walking the streets of London or just about any city in Europe. Any thoughts there, Pete? Do you feel safe? Are you safe now?
When I'm jogging around. I actually considered, because I've not really been able to be outside much, obviously. At about 11 o'clock last night, I was like, "Oh, maybe I could do a little jog around. Maybe I could have a little jog around the place." Didn't do it. Went to bed.
Oh,
I went to buy some training shoes, because my knees are absolutely buggered. So I was like, "Look, I need to ship the weight a little bit, but the only way I'm going to do it is by upping." I'm trying my best to reduce my calorific content, but I also need to do a bit of fucking exercise here and there. I'm playing football a couple of times a week, but I need to sort of fill in the gaps by have a run around or whatever. So that's just something that I'm going to have to come to terms with, even though I find running and jogging fucking boring and intensely unacceptable to my body's needs and wants and desires.
Yeah.
And so I went to get some trainers. Went to this training shoe shop in Southend, and oh, fuck me, this guy was mad. He was like, there was like just the front door was just like it looked like a normal runner's shop where I presume you buy runner's shoes, and it just had loads of A4 sheets of paper with handwritten notes saying, "Ring the doorbell, ring the doorbell, ring the doorbell, ring the doorbell. Do not come in. Ring the doorbell." Like, all right, mate.
What?
Cool. So I ring the doorbell. He opens up. He insists on me putting a mask on. Now this is so rare. Like he's got these masks, and he gives you a mask. It is so rare to have anyone insist on masks. Like, you don't even need them in the hospitals now. Like, we just don't do it anymore. Like, and so we've got these masks on, and so I put this mask on, and he gives me a pair of, and he's just like this weird kind of like hermit man who's like who's got his it gives me a pair of socks, and he's sort of like, he's alone in this thing, and he's barricaded the door with his stick. And so I bought some trainers in the end, but it was just it was not what I was expecting for a running shop, effectively.
How did you find this place?
I just went on Google Maps and typed running stuff. Give me some running stuff.
It sounded like he was running away from something, honestly. Off the grid, man. Bloody hell. That's not what you expect to find when you go to buy some trainers.
Very intense.
God forbid. But, yeah, no, I share your sentiments on running. You don't need to get fit. You're a handsome, fit young man.
Cheers, mate.
I certainly do, especially after the UK, my 3 kilogram increase. But I have been running recently. I'll get into it into next week's podcast. I'll talk about my fitness regime or regimen. Is regime the wrong word? It is, isn't it? Chris's fitness regime. Sounds like a dictatorship that puts an emphasis on low obesity rates. We've got one here from Andrew. He said, hello, cat-like Chris and purring Pete. Have either of you heard of the upcoming game Stray? It releases next week on the 19th. That's today for PS4 and 5 and PlayStation. I'm sorry, and PC. It looks like all the glory of neon nights in Tokyo mixed with the simple enjoyment of exploring as a feline friend. Your friend in New England, Andrew, from Massachusetts. You know, I've actually seen this game. It looks really good. It's just, I think if it's the game I'm thinking of, it's the one where you just play as a cat and you just sort of walk around a futuristic dystopian, like Blade Runner-esque.
It's right up your street, mate. It's right. I mean, I have to say, if you're playing Cyberpunk, it's right up your street. Is it out yet? Is it actually? Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry. It literally said in the. I mean, very specific. It releases next week on the. It's today. Oh my god, it's today. Chris, it's today. Oh my god, we're recording this on the 19th. Oh my god, what are we waiting for?
And stop the recording.
It looks very pretty. Where was this made? Blue 12 Studios. Right, I'm going to check whether this is in Massachusetts, because there's very specific details about when it's coming out.
There's a really great game coming out.
It's a really great game, actually.
It's on PlayStation 5. I wouldn't know, Andrew. I don't have one. I'll have to play it on my humble PlayStation 4.
I've got one. Don't use it, mate. Don't worry about it.
What do you mean you don't use it?
Don't
give
use
it to me.
I'm kind of in a position where they only get, like, I played a game called McPixel last week. And I play it on my computer in the cabin. And that's the place to play video games. So I've got a nice, like, widescreen monitor and stuff. But I spend all my day working there. So at the end of the day, I don't really want to go and sit out there when my partner's and the dogs are in the house. But then the front room, I've tried sort of remote playing Steam stuff on the telly. But the angle of the telly doesn't work for me. And then the television upstairs, I've got the PlayStation hooked up to in the bedroom, is like, that's kind of not, the telly's too far away. So I don't want to play something really immersive. So I'm just giving myself massive excuses not to play video games, because I've got that sort of age where I'd rather spend 3 hours reading about video games and watching YouTubes about video games during the day. And then at the end of it, not actually experience any of the fuckers myself. But McPixel... little kind of vignette-y kind of WarioWare kind of games. That's a bit of fun if you like totally random experiences. But Stray, it looks beautiful. I mean, it does look absolutely stunning.
Just turning into Pete Donaldson's first world problems. Oh, my TV screen's too big. It just looks so good.
I know. I sound like an absolute prick. And I'm probably going to slag off Stray because cats leave me slightly cold.
I think you need to give in. I think you need to make a charitable donation to Abroad Japan and give me the PlayStation 5. It's my 10-year anniversary in Japan in a week or two. And what better way than to ship your PlayStation 5 unplayed, never used, in a box to
Chris,
the Abroad Japan studio?
Chris, couldn't you? I mean, A, you could easily walk in any hard off and they'll have a PlayStation, $200 over the odds. Fair play. You get one yourself anytime you want. Why don't I just ship you my controller and you can play it remote play? You can do it over the internet.
Can I do that? Can you actually take the controller?
I think you can. I think you can do it over 4G. I think you can.
Codswallop.
Hee hee.
Either way, I will get my PlayStation 5 to celebrate my 10 years in Japan. I'll buy one. I don't know how I'm going to get one. I still can't believe they don't bloody sell them anywhere. Like, you just can't find them in Japan at the moment. They're selling, I think you can find them in America, even in the UK. I don't know why I didn't think about this before I came back.
Yeah.
Although it would have got lost in luggage, probably, no my luck. I still can't believe Trash Taste haven't got their $30,000 of camera equipment back from Heathrow and Aer Lingus. So, probably a good idea not to bring it anyway, but I will track one down. If the two Petes, what is it with Petes letting you down, not giving you your PlayStation?
I ain't promising you anything, brother. You ain't getting nothing from me. You get an hour of my time every week. And that's more than anyone gets.
I hope I can be pleasantly surprised. I'll be pleasantly surprised next week and open my mailbox and find a big, bulky PlayStation 5 signed by Pete Donaldson with a package of games from all the games companies he works for. Fingers crossed. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com, guys. We'll be back later in the week to do it all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a good few days, and we'll see you right back here. Do all over again on the Abroad Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
All right.
In Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.